for Jesus' sake. Amen.
And the Pew Bible is on page 1175. Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to read from verse 7 down to verse 16. In these four Sunday mornings of October, we're thinking about our purpose statement together as a congregation, which is printed on the front of your order of service: to see unbelieving people become mature followers of Jesus Christ within the church. And we're trying to think week by week of what each of these phrases within that statement means for us as individuals, so that we might commit ourselves to live personally and purposefully according to this statement. And this morning our subject is what it means to be a mature follower of Jesus. Let's read from verse 7 of Ephesians chapter 4. To each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful schemes. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love, as each part does its work. Amen. And may God teach us from his word this morning concerning spiritual maturity. Well, if you're following your order of service, you'll see I've been my usual self. We were at Summerlee Industrial Heritage Park for a little while yesterday, and any visit like that reminds you that things are not what they used to be in many senses. What do you want to be when you grow up? There used to be fairly predictable answers to that question for those of you of a certain generation. I want to be a fireman or a train driver or maybe a nurse. Nowadays, if you ask children what do they want to be, they're more likely to come out with something like, I want to be an advertising executive or a PR consultant or a human resources manager. Very different drivers as to what children's ambitions are now as they grow up. And yet, one is aware that one thing hasn't really changed. In every generation, you find people who are what we call suffering from stunted growth, sometimes physically, sometimes emotionally. People whose emotional development is lacking something and are unable to invest or make or keep stable relationships. Well, the passage that's before us this morning in Ephesians is concerned with growing up. In many different ways, that theme comes out in several different phases, so that the body of Christ may be built up, verse 12, so that you may become mature, verse 13, so that you may no longer be infants, verse 14, so that you will grow up into Christ, verse 15. So what does a growing up Christian look like? What are his or her characteristics? Are you a growing up Christian? Are you growing? What are the signs that you're growing? How do you ensure that you're growing? What does a growing up church look like? This is the concern of the second part of our purpose statement. To see unbelieving people become mature followers of Jesus Christ within the church. What we mean by that is not simply the hope that people will stay with the Christian faith until they're mature as adults, not simply that they'll be around for a number of years, but that all of us will be focused together on the task of becoming mature spiritually. That we'll want to be growing up Christians as well as growing up adults. Perhaps we could say a word negatively, first of all, about what we to grow out of. Because Paul says something here about us not any longer being infants. And he seems to characterize infancy, spiritual infancy, in verse 14, by two things. One, instability, and two, naivety. So that you'll no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves. There's a kind of mixed metaphor in there, isn't there? At one moment it's a little child, and the next moment it's a little boat. Blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Two characteristics of spiritual infancy. The first, instability. You know that kind of instability that is common in a child. I constantly am aware of it in our own home. You know, I take a look one week in the bedroom and it steps who are up in the wall, and 6 months later I go back into the bedroom and it's another band, S Club, and then it's David Sneddon, and now it's Alex and whoever will be next. The pattern changes from month to month, doesn't it? And then 1 week the Rangers supporters, and the next the Celtic supporters. 1 week they want to enroll with gymnastics, and the next week everyone else is doing disco dancing, so they want to do that, and then it's taekwondo, and then it's ballet, and that's just the boys. And that kind of instability is also seen in the kind of emotional instability where they go through, don't they? And spiritually too, if we're infants spiritually, we're marked by instability. So that on the one moment we're terribly enthusiastic and nothing is better than Christ and church, and in the next moment we're down in the depths and to get away from here and these people. So instability is a characteristic of spiritual infancy just as it is of physical infancy. And so is naivety. I remember the first Saturday Zoe found one of those scratch cards lying by the magazines in Tesco. You've won £10,000. She came running up to me. Oh, Daddy, with £10,000, look, I've scratched it off and I'm a winner. And when she finished scratching off the other 17 she found under the magazine rack, she reckoned she had about 170,000. And now, a little more wise, she realizes you don't get anything else. You never get anything else. And same kind of naivety comes through the internet, doesn't it? If you're online, you'll know that well, you may get the kind of things I get regularly. Probably not. I think these ones come mostly because I'm in the Church of Scotland webpage, but some poor, needy soul in Nigeria sends, God has told me to support your ministry. I've been left $1 million by my parents, and if you just tell me your bank account, I'll put it straight in. And these kind of, people fall for it because they're naive. And so spiritually as well, naivety is a characteristic of spiritual infancy. And people are naive to think that the latest fad or the latest fashion or the latest song or the latest guru is the surefire answer for the church and for the life and whatever. And they buy into everything. And Paul says we have to grow out of that spiritual condition that's characterized by instability and naivety into something else. So what are the marks of the maturity we're to seek? Well, the first thing I think we want to say is that mature Christians are those who are coordinated by the head. Look down at verse 15 and 16. We will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows up and builds itself up in love. A little baby can be quite floppy, can't they? They kind of have minimal muscle control. They're very loose in their muscle movement. And as they grow, the control is strengthened. They become more coordinated in their movement. Increasingly, as you grow, your body does what you tell it to do, what you think it ought to do. And then you reach a phase where your body stops doing what you tell it to do, and you're into decline. But spiritually, Christian really reach that stage? A growing Christian is one who is increasingly under the control of the head of the body, that is Jesus Christ. She or he does what the head says they're to do. I was in a shop the other day and I noticed up on the wall something like this: within 1 minute, we aim to ask you if you need help. And then the other day as well, I was in Asda, and for some reason I was round the wrong side of the checkout, and I noticed that the girl on the checkout had a little prompt card: have you asked the customer yet if they... And I forget what was on it, you know. And obviously there are certain policies that come from the head right down through the organisation. Imagine you're in a fast food chain shop and it's not doing well. It's sloppy, it's untidy, not hard to imagine. Most of them are like that. And it's profitless. And you bring in a new boss, and he says the key to this organisation getting back on its feet is that people need to be befriended and valued. They need to know that they matter from the moment they come into this shop until they leave. And so the staff are trained. New friendly greetings are put in place. Prompt service. Coordinated breaks. Old habits take a while to die, yes. But eventually something does happen and people come out of that chain whenever they're in it smiling. See you again soon, they're said as they leave. And then, yes, you will see me again. That was quite a pleasurable experience, they think. And they're back the next week for another chicken burger or whatever it is. Because the head of the company who's brought in to shape the thing has had his way right down through the staff, percolating all the way. So in a healthy body, the head directs and shapes. And in the body of Jesus Christ, Jesus is the only head. And in a healthy church, in a maturing church, there should be an increasing responsiveness to him who is the head in our life, together and individually. What are his priorities? Well, I think that might be a surprise for the average Church of Scotland member. Let's try and travel for a moment back to Galilee and imagine we bump into Jesus. It's about 10:30 in the morning. We say to him, "Well, Jesus, what are we about today? Do you want us to get the fish buckets out and do a bit of fundraising to repair the net? Or will you do one of those things that you are uniquely qualified to do, a little talk for the ladies of the village and the Galilean lakes from the beginning of time? Wouldn't that be interesting?" "No," says Jesus. "Actually, you've missed a good bit of the day already. I've been up in the hills for many hours praying to my Father, asking for his help. And I think we're going to stop by this morning with some sick folks. You know, the folks that sit by the gate that no one bothers them. And then we're going to call in on the tax collector in number 22. He doesn't have many friends. He may be lonely. And then we'll have lunch with the ladies of the night. We'll give them good news for a change." What are you going to do with all these folks, Jesus? "Well, we're just going to explain to them God's ways as simply as we can. We're going to embody his love to them. We're going to invite them to respond to that, to turn around, to journey with us." You'd be hard pressed as you read through the Gospels to find anything else in terms of what Jesus' plans and purposes and priorities are other than service to hurting people and outreach to those who know not God. So a mature follower of Jesus is one who firstly is under the control of Jesus, the head of the body. Secondly, working muscles are characteristic of mature people. A child can do less than an adult, generally speaking. They can't kick a ball as far. They can't carry as much shopping. They can't concentrate for as long. But as their muscles develop and their lung capacity increases and their whole body capacity is enhanced, so their performance improves and their muscles become increasingly active. And the spiritually mature people are marked too by working muscles. Verse 16. "Whole body, joined and held together, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." As each part does its work. Occasionally in a child, you see a part that underperforms. There's a lazy eye, or there's a weak left foot, or there's a weak right arm at swimming, and the other parts of the body have to compensate. And with training and corrective measures, you can often bring these parts of the body back into full function and into balance. And in a mature church, all the parts of the body are in good working order because each
part does its work.
Think of a family. Mum and dad do most. Children, at least in my experience, do little. And then the balance changes. Sometimes inverted parenting occurs. But ideally, everyone in the family, parents, children, everyone plays their part. In the Church of Jesus, in every age and generation, I think in every society, we've often struggled with such a simple phenomenon as that. Sometimes, mistakenly, omnicompetent clergy want to monopolize and suffocate the activities of others. Sometimes because of laziness or ignorance or immaturity, the few are left to carry the majority. But in any case, that is a surefire recipe for body breakdown. In a mature church, with mature followers of Jesus, each part does its work. I have to say, in a church as big as this, it's very easy to hide. And it's quite difficult sometimes to put your hand up and say, I want to do this. But it's a sign of maturity in you and in the body when you do. And when you're enabled to play your part. A mature follower of Jesus is one who plays their part for the glory of Jesus. Thirdly, third mark of maturity comes in verse 13, going backwards here. Become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Christ-likeness. It's a recurring theme in Paul and in New Testament Christianity, so I make no apology for returning to it myself. My mother's sister, Wilma, has a house full of owls and many owls. At every room you go into, at every wall you look at, there are owls of varying shapes and sizes and colours. She just loves owls. She's very easy to buy a present for. She's never unhappy if you give her an owl. She just loves owls. God just loves Jesus. And her love is a perfect love. There is no one and nothing more fitting for love than Jesus. And if we were to ask ourselves, how could heaven be any richer than what it is already, a place of perfect love? To add anything to it would simply be to subtract from it. Except we know that it is the nature of love to be creative and to spill over. And God's creation and God's salvation is the spillover of that perfect love between the Father and the Son. And if you will not misunderstand me or think in any sense I'm being irreverent, can't you see that in one sense the aim of God in salvation is to populate heaven with little Christ, many Christ. We who with unveiled faces, says the Apostle, all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory. That's our destiny, and it's our goal, and it's the height of the Father's ambition, in a sense, that He should honour His Son by populating heaven with little images of Him. People who in every sense are like Him and point towards Him. And so the real answer for any Christian to that question, what do you want to be when you grow up, is a very simple one. I want to be like Jesus. And that's the third mark of those who are mature followers of Jesus Christ. They are under Christ, stable. They are with Christ, active. And they are like Christ. Now I want to say just a word or two about the means to maturity that are highlighted in this passage, but I only want to skip around it because it's really next week's subject. But I touch on it to highlight two other characteristics of mature followers. And I do so in this way. We've already said something to the children, and we know ourselves surely as adults the importance of a healthy diet for growth to maturity.
went in to recommend the Atkins diet, the latest fad, or anything, but you know that there are certain diets that would be detrimental to people's health and maturing. And there are other food things, diet menus that would be good for us. And if we want to grow up quickly, we need good nutrition also as Christians. And God has provided the food we need in the word of the apostles and prophets. Highlighted here, God has given some to be apostles, some to be prophets, and evangelists and teachers and pastors. Now in one sense, these people are all concerned with our nurture. They're all concerned with our health. They're all concerned with our growth. In some senses, you might want to think of them as spiritual obstetricians and pediatricians and GPs and midwives and health visitors and district nurses. And their primary concern here is that we're on the right diet. We're on course for healthy growth. And if we don't eat the healthy food of the apostles and prophets, namely the word of God as it's brought to us by them, we may well grow, but that growth will be fatty. It will produce unhealthy Christians, not healthy Christians. And at worst, such growth may be cancer, dangerously unhealthy for the body as a whole. And you and I constantly need to be reminded of this, no matter how long we've been here or how recent we've been here. The church may dream dreams, it may stage events, it may invent strategies, it may add numbers, it may build a bank balance, it may establish buildings, but if the people of that church individually are not feeding on the word of God as brought to them by the apostles and prophets, are not submitting to it as their pastors and teachers apply it to their life, they will remain disappointingly and dangerously immature as individuals and as a church. So as a mature follower of Jesus is someone with a healthy appetite for good food, and someone who never loses that. We know, and any of the doctors among us this morning would be able to tell us in great detail, I'm sure, the problem of obesity in Scotland today. Not only arising from bad diet, but from little exercise. And that's why the apostle in this chapter, I think, has such a beautiful balance between the need for us to be submissive to the teaching of our pastors and teachers and apostles and prophets, but at the same time for the need for us to be active in the gifts that we've been given and the service that is given to us. Do you notice that little word there in verse 12? The work of the apostles and prophets and pastors and teachers is to prepare God's people for works of service. That word prepare literally means resetting the bones. In other words, these people are about giving the health to people to enable them to be active themselves. That's what the work of pastors and teachers is, to bring people into, as it were, match fitness, so that they can be active in exercising their own gifts. We pray and we love and we tell and we serve. And there is a great danger, I think, for many in this church, that we would suffer the equivalent of spiritual obesity. Too much feeding and not enough exercise. Or worse still, spiritual atrophy, wastage through lack of use of our spiritual muscle. Both of these things, spiritual obesity and spiritual atrophy, are enemies of maturity. A mature follower of Jesus is one who is active in expressing the gifts they've been given in active service. Lastly, said something there about diet, the need for good food and exercise. Last factor I think that affects our growth as individuals and our spiritual growth is the environment. And there's a little phrase in here that speaks about the kind of environment we have to be committed to. Look at it down in verse 15. Speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ.
That word speaking is not actually there in the original. And the original literally says truthing in love. Truthing in love. And it's about the kind of environment we create together as a church. An environment marked by truth and love.
You and I need to be individually responsible for our own growth to maturity. It needs to be at the forefront of our mind. It needs to be a concern of ours. But a mature follower of Jesus is concerned not only with themselves, but with the growth of others. And so together we want to create an environment characterized by truthing in love, where with honest dialogue and supportive encouragement, we bring one another on to maturity. It's true in the Christian body, the body of Christ, as much as it is true in our physical body, that our body is only as strong as our weakest part. And therefore, we're to be concerned not only with our own maturity, but with the maturity of our neighbour, to our right and to our left. The body is only as strong as its weakest part. A mature follower of Jesus will be concerned to help others to maturity. Some of you, I know, when we brought out this purpose statement, were a little shy of it. You felt it was all aimed at those outside the church, and you'd been here a long time and you couldn't really see anything in it for you. Well, we make no apology for front-loading the task of evangelism. Without that, we die absolutely today. But I hope you see in this central phrase that there's a task here that none of us ever grow out of. And that all of us together need to be concerned for ourselves and for one another. Becoming mature followers of Jesus Christ. Coordinated, submissive to the head. Active in service. Growing in likeness to Jesus. Continuing with a healthy appetite, concern for our neighbours and their growth. Let's give ourselves to that task. And may God help us to grow as a congregation, not only numerically, but in depth, in height, and in breadth, in service to Him. Let's pray together. We take a moment in your presence, O God, to allow your word to examine us, to stand before it as a mirror, to look at ourselves in it, and to acknowledge where we've stopped growing through lack of feeding or lack of exercise. We want to confess our failures to you and ask that you would make us ambitious in the truest sense of that word, to be mature followers of Jesus. Give us a hunger to be like Him. Give us a humility to submit to Him. Give us a love to care for others and for their growth in Jesus' name. Hear our prayer, for we ask it for His glory. Amen.